listen to me and clear your head. Things you believe, you've been forced, you've been had.
Stay tuned for Straight Talk About God with your host Jack Flaws. Good morning. Welcome to Straight Talk About God. I'm Jack. I want to thank Tom Coate for that tune. You've been had. Yeah, we have been had. We continue to be had. Now, this will be the fifth in the Illuminati series, and this time we're going to get some more insight into how the foundations are used to further the drive toward the New World Order. But we'll be paying particular attention to the Red Cross to get a practical feel of how the delusion works. Delusion? The one we live in. The one constructed by the Illuminati. It's just like the movie The Matrix. You know, my old pappy used to say, it ain't a lie just because you ain't heard it. Okay, we'll get into that in just a minute, but first I have to remind you that the views expressed here are strictly those of the speaker, not meant to reflect the views of or the beliefs of KMUD or the folks that keep it on the air. I also have to tell you that the following hour of Redwood Community Radio is being underwritten by the Straight Talk office. That's it. At 88 Bryceland Road in Redway. It's a gathering place for confirming God's reality and the truth of the Bible and viewing Dr. Gene Scott by satellite. And we're also on the web at asis.com/tildestag, S-T-A-G. And the number over at Straight Talk is 707-923-2559. Okay, I want to start with a brief thing about three of the foundations before we get into that flowchart. We'll talk about Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford. And this is all from a book that you can get on the internet from called Final Warning, written by David Allen Rivera, 1994, but the latest edition is 1997. He's got 12 pages of source listings. This is no peanut publication here. Okay? You just look up, I can't give you a URL here that'll make any sense. So just look up David Allen Rivera. Just do a little Google search on David Allen Rivera, and you come up with this thing called the Final Warning. It's over 100 pages. It's a huge thing. The Rockefeller Foundation. In May 1913, after 3 years of congressional opposition, somebody knew something back then, the New York State's legislature voted to establish the Rockefeller Foundation, which was located in the Time Life Building. Quote, to promote the well-being of mankind throughout the world, end quote. However, a 1946 report stated that the, quote, challenge of the future is to make this one world. Oh, now we got it. One world, the new world order. The endowment to establish the foundation totaled $182.8 million and was given in securities, enabling the foundation to disperse over $1 billion, even though it's only third in total assets compared to the Ford and Johnson foundations. Rockefeller was quoted as having said, quote, so it may come to pass that someday no one will speak of my country, but all will speak of our world. See, get up off of the local level where people have gotten a $10,000 grant to supply needles or something to hemophiliacs, and get up to the purpose, the overall purpose of these foundations. One world government. Rockefeller pushed his sons into five different areas of influence. See, just like Rothschild did in Europe. John III into philanthropy. Nelson into government. Remember, he was once vice president. He was a four-term governor in New York, too. Lawrence into business. Winthrop into oil. But he also was a two-term governor of Arkansas. Arkansas is a favorite state of the Illuminati, evidently. Clinton was there. And David Rockefeller into banking. He was a chairman of the Chase Manhattan Bank and director of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Now, though the Rockefeller Foundation is the primary foundation of the family, there are many others operated by them. There are some who believe that the Rockefellers may run close to 200 trusts and foundations. But prior to their appointments, Cyrus Vance, Secretary under Carter, Secretary of State, and Dean Rusk, Secretary of State under Kennedy, were both presidents of the Rockefeller Foundation. See, the people at the top in the government and the people at the top in the foundations and the big non-governmental organizations, they just play musical chairs in and out of the government, in and out of the foundations. Through interlocking directorates, the foundation controls the Carnegie Endowment and the Ford Foundation. While the Carnegie Endowment deals with education as it relates to international matters, the Rockefeller Foundation concentrates on education as it relates to the domestic issues. It financed and influenced seven major policy-making agencies. Social Science Research Council. They explored the means of controlling people through scientific methods, such as mass media. It's right out there in the open, isn't it? The Russian Institute of Columbia University, who developed methods of conditioning Americans into accepting a merger of the Soviet Union and America under one world government. The Council on Foreign Relations. We shouldn't have to say hardly anything about that. The National Bureau of Economic Research, who worked closely with the Federal Reserve Board. Public Administration Clearing House in Chicago. The Brookings Institution. Okay, these think tanks are all Illuminati run. Brookings Institution. The Institute of Public Relations, which is pretty much the same thing as a Council on Foreign Relations, only it's the Pacific instead of the United States. And they were responsible for planning the communist subversion of America. The purpose of the Rockefeller Brothers Fund is the, quote, support of efforts in the United States and abroad to contribute ideas, develop leaders, and encourage institutions in the transition to global interdependence. End quote. In 1974, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund gave grants to, listen to all of these people, okay? The ACLU, $45,000. Atlantic Institute for International Affairs in Paris. In Paris? Wait a minute. $10,000. Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, $60,000. Columbia University, Council on Foreign Relations, Foreign Policy Association, International Institute of Strategic Studies in London, NAACP, $145,000. National Council of Churches of Christ in the USA, National Urban League, $100,000, Trilateral Commission, UN Association of the United States, Incorporated, United Negro College Fund, Incorporated, and the U.S. Conference of the World Council of Churches, Incorporated. And every one of those people are influenced, every one of those organizations are influenced by the Rockefellers' objectives, their overall Illuminati objectives of one world government and reduction of the world population to a half a billion people. Carnegie Endowment. In 1889, William Torrey Harris, the U.S. Commissioner of Education, told a high-ranking railroad official that the schools were being scientifically designed to not to over-educate children. Don't over-educate those kids. Don't teach them too much. Yeah, they might get smart. He believed that the schools should alienate children from their parents and religion. In 1890, Carnegie wrote 11 essays, which were published under the title The Gospel of Wealth. The underlying premise was that the free enterprise system had been locked up by such men as himself, J.P. Morgan, and John D. Rockefeller, and that they not only owned everything, but also controlled the government. His worry was that subsequent generations would realize this and work against them. His solution was to control the education system and to create a direct relationship between the amount of education a person had and how good a job they could get. Therefore, I mean, that doesn't sound like much, but the implications are far-reaching. Therefore, this created a motivation for children to attend school.
Oh, well, what's wrong with that?
Oh, yeah? Where they would be taught only what the social engineers of this country wanted them to know. A couple of shows ago, we talked about this, okay? They dumbed down American education ever since the 30s from John Dewey. One example was how they lumped in about seven previously separately taught subjects like civics, economics, and stuff like that into social studies. And now instead of seven textbooks, you've got one textbook with a bunch of generalities in it and a lot of misinformation. This education was to be accomplished by instituting the educational system developed in Prussia between 1808 and 1819. German philosopher Johann Gottlieb Fichte, in his, quote, Addresses to the German Nation, 1808, he said, this is 200 years ago, 1808, he said that he did not trust parental influence and preferred education to be carried out in a, quote, separate and independent environment controlled by the state. Prussia became the first government to have compulsory education, and it was set up on a three-tiered level. The children of the elite, about one-half of 1%, went to schools called academies, and they were taught to think and be independent. About 5.5% went to what's called Realschulen, and they were partially taught how to think. The other 94% went to Volksschulen, where the idea of being a follower and a good citizen was stressed. And that's what our education is all about today, being part of the one world, the global community, the group. This system of education was brought to the United States through the efforts of a coalition of big business led by Carnegie, J.P. Morgan, and Rockefeller. Major universities like Columbia, Johns Hopkins, and the University of Wisconsin, the University of Michigan, and the University of Chicago, and large foundations like Carnegie, Rockefeller, Ford, Mellon, Peabody, Sage, and Whitney. The success in creating an organized compulsory education system in this country has allowed the elite of this country to prevent each generation from truly understanding how this country is actually run, thus keeping them from doing anything about it. This dumbing down has enabled the government to more easily assimilate the people of this country into a population that will easily be deceived and controlled. Do a net search on Phyllis Schlafly, and I think her URL is eagleforum.org. And she's way into this dumbing down part. The Carnegie Endowment for International Peace was established in 1910 to promote international peace and bring about the abolition of war, and the Carnegie Corporation of New York in 1911, with a grant of $125 million, was set up to, quote, promote the advancement and diffusion of knowledge and understanding among the people of the United States by aiding technical schools, institutions of higher learning, libraries, scientific research, hero funds, useful publications, and by such other agencies and means as shall time to time be found appropriate therefore. Gee, that sounds really great. You know, oh, they're out to help the schools. With such a history of philanthropic contributions, though, the Carnegie Endowment on its face appeared to be innocent. However, its goal of promoting international peace was just a ruse to disguise its true purpose to promote one world government. The first three presidents of the group were Elihu Root, socialist and former Secretary of State under President Theodore Roosevelt, who was a leading advocate of the League of Nations, one world government. He was succeeded in 1925 by Nicholas Murray Butler, the former president of Columbia University, and then Alger Hiss, the communist who helped found the United Nations. Their president during the 1960s was Joseph E. Johnson, member of the CFR, a close friend of Alger Hiss, who was known as the, quote, permanent unofficial Secretary of State. He worked closely with the Donner Foundation, which financed the Temple of Understanding, and that's an occult organization connected to the Lucas Trust in England. They're a group of Satan worshippers with ties to the Theosophical Society. Alice Bailey and all those people. We talked several times on this radio show about that. Members of the temple met with the met at endowment headquarters in the United Nations Plaza. Among their members, among the members of the Temple of of Understanding, okay, an occult organization, members were Robert McNamara, Secretary of State under Kennedy and Johnson, Eleanor Roosevelt. Oh, what a saint she was made out to be. Eleanor Roosevelt, Thomas Watson, president of IBM, Max Lerner, James Lennon of Time Life, Norman Thomas, James A. Pike, Ellsworth Bunker, and John D. Rockefeller IV. The Carnegie Endowment and the Rockefeller Foundation gave over $3 million to the Institute of Pacific Relations. Mentioned them earlier. And they used the media to convince the American people that the communists in China were agricultural reformers. Oh, just an agrarian society, that's all. Never mind all the millions that got killed over there The endowment has also given money to the Council on Foreign Relations, the Aspen Institute of Humanistic Studies, the United Nations Association for the of the U.S., and the American Civil Liberties Union Foundation. Norman Dodd, who in July 1953 was appointed as a research director of the Special Congressional Committee to investigate tax-exempt foundations, said that he discovered that the oldest tax-exempt foundations were established before the initiation of income taxes. 1913, I think that was. Therefore, they existed for a different purpose. See, oh yeah, you put your money in a foundation and you don't have to pay taxes. Well, before they had to pay taxes, they must have had some other reason. He examined the minutes of the Board of Trustees, and he found that for the first year, the members concentrated on whether there was by any means a more effective way than war to alter the life of the people of the nation. Huh? They concluded that to get America into an upcoming war, they had to control the diplomatic machinery of the State Department. But this is out of their own minutes here. Dodd discovered that the high-level appointments at the State Department took place only after being cleared through a group called the Council of Learned Societies, which was established by the Carnegie Endowment. He saw in the minutes of the Carnegie Board a record of a note to President Wilson requesting that he, quote, see that the war does not end too quickly. Heavy stuff. Syndicated columnist Joseph Kraft, writing in Harper's, July 58, said that records indicated that the Carnegie trustees hoped to involve the United States in a world war to set the stage for world government. Dodd said that they wanted to, quote, to bring about the idea of one world government to the point where it is acceptable to the people of this country. That is the primary aim, and everything that has happened since then is a means to that end, unquote. Their memos indicate that they believe that their efforts were successful because the war, quote, had brought about a change in the American people. The investigation by Reese's Special House Committee, that was on American Activities, found that the Carnegie Corporation financed the writing and publication of The Proper Study of Mankind by Stuart Chase. The book, praised by the communist agents Harry Dexter White and Lachlan Curry, which outlined the, quote, ideal society in which the individual is suppressed. Over 50,000 copies, I mentioned this last time, of the book were distributed by the foundation to libraries and scholars. They also gave $340,000 in grant money to print a 17-volume study on American education by George Counts. Remember him from a couple of shows ago? And this study was later called An Educational Program for a Socialist America. The Ford Foundation, in 1936, with his son Edsel, Henry Ford established the Ford Foundation as an inheritance tax dodge, which he saw as a plot to take money away from Americans, and for his family to retain control after his death. Henry Ford said, quote, if the American people knew the corruption in our money system, there would be a revolution before morning. He's right. He's right. An enemy of the establishment, Ford wanted American hero Charles A. Lindbergh, who supported the conservative America First movement, to be director of his foundation, but Lindbergh refused. Ford and his son Edsel died before the foundation's leadership could be placed in safe hands, and control passed to Edsel's widow and grandson, Henry Ford II, who later married into the Rothschild family, just so you'll know where he's coming from. And he brought in such, quote, insiders as William Benton, Dr. Robert M. Hutchins, who became associate director, and Paul G. Hoffman, who became the chief administrator. The Ford Foundation, with assets of $4 billion, is the world's largest endowment. They own 90% of Ford Motor stock. Ford also established the Edison Institute and the Henry Ford Hospital, which gave two-thirds of its grants to education and one-third to communications, public health, economic development, science and engineering, senior citizens, the humanities, and the arts.
Oh, what a wonderful foundation they are.
That's what they do. Just see, that's what they do. In November 1953, Norman Dodd, director of research for the House Special Committee investigating the tax-exempt foundations, was told by Roman Gaither, president of the Ford Foundation, quote, that most of the men who are now running the foundations formerly worked for the State Department, the United Nations Relief and Rehabilitation Association, the Marshall Plan, and other foreign relief agencies, and that in those capacities they were working under instructions from the White House. Wait a minute. The Ford Foundation and the high-level, they were under instructions from the White House. Yeah. To bring about such sociological, economic, and political changes as would make union with communist Russia easy and comfortable for the American people. Again, merging with Russia to make one world government, you see. Now, in the foundations, we are working toward the same objectives. And that's the end of the quote. He said that the Ford Foundation operated under directives which, quote, emanate from the White House, and that the, quote, substance of the directives under which we operate is that we shall use our grant-making power to alter life in the United States that we can comfortably be merged with the Soviet Union. Hey, did you ever notice that the U.S. and the Soviet Union have the same initials reversed, SU and US. Continuing, Robert McNamara, an executive with the Ford Motor Company, became the foundation's president in 1960, later resigning to serve as Secretary of State in the Kennedy and Johnson administration. Mentioned that earlier. He helped lay the foundation for the SALT Treaty. In 1968, he became president of the World Bank. The musical chairs, Ford Foundation, Secretary of State, Defense rather, and then the World Bank. McGeorge Bundy, CFR member, the chief advisor for foreign affairs for Kennedy and Johnson, became president of the foundation, Ford Foundation, in 1966. He ushered in an era of social unrest by announcing that the Negro movement, quote, the first of the nation's problems, end quote, would be his top priority. There you have the foundations. All right, now I've got this flow chart of the foundations. And this is really going to be hard for a lot of us to hear. There's six foundations on this flowchart. You get it off the internet, and if you go to questionsquestions.net, you'll find the gatekeepers. Questionsquestions.net. Foundations fund phony, quote, left media. Here's a quote. If they don't like what we're doing, we don't get funded next year. All right. There's six foundations listed here. Actually, seven. Schumann, Ford, Rockefeller, Carnegie, Soros, Kaplan, and MacArthur. one or two of those you might not have heard of, but they're all in there. First of all, we've got an organization called FAIR. Mentioned that at the beginning of the show. They got $2 million from Schuman, Ford, Rockefeller, and MacArthur. $2 million. Well, they're supposed to be on the left. See? They, out of FAIR, comes Noam Chomsky. Our hero, you know. I'm not saying that these people don't say the right things or give us good information. They just don't give us all of it. See? Donahue comes out of FAIR also, MSNBC. Then we've got the Progressive Magazine. They got $500,000 from Ford, Rockefeller, and MacArthur. Next, we got The Nation. The Nation? Wait a minute, they're one of my heroes. who listens to The Nation on KMUD? I do. My hand is up. The Nation got $150,000 from MacArthur, Soros, and Kaplan. And now here's the part that's going to be the hardest for practically everybody to hear. Okay? Pacifica Radio received $200,000 from Ford and Soros. $150,000 just from Ford. Pacifica Radio. I mentioned that at the beginning of the show. And Amy Gooden got an additional $100,000. You see, you have to have two sides to a war. And so they promote all of this, quote, phony left media. If we don't tell the truth, I'll paraphrase what I said at the beginning. If we don't tell the truth, we don't get money next year. Heavy stuff, huh? The Foundations. The American Red Double Cross by Leonard Horowitz. Sandpoint, Idaho. The American Red Cross, ARC, is widely considered a great American institution. It is generally thought of as among the world's premier humanitarian organizations, and clearly, almost everyone thinks of it as a life-saving agency. Most people know this non-governmental organization, NGO, to be heavily dependent on the blood and currency generously donated by the American people. But what if all the above is untrue? What if everything you think you know about the Red Cross is a ghastly, nauseating lie? My name is Dr. Leonard Horowitz, and what I'm about to share with you is deeply disturbing yet potentially life-saving. The American Red Cross is not what it appears to be. Let me begin by telling you a little bit about myself and my bias. For the past 10 years, I've been conducting health science and U.S. government cover-up investigations as an independent, Harvard-trained, award-winning medical journalist and internationally recognized authority in public health. Now, he's got a lot of credentials here. I'll just read this one more. In 1999, I won the prestigious Author of the Year Award from the World Natural Health Organization for my 10th book. He's got 10 of them. It was called Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional. Government health officials have said that this book is largely responsible for America's rapidly growing anti-vaccination movement. And the blood banking industry is meticulously explored there as well. Let me give you a little background on the people who run the American Red Cross. Founded in 1881 by American humanitarian Clara Barton, the American Red Cross, officially named American National Red Cross, was first chartered by the U.S. Congress in 1900. A second charter, still in force, was granted in 1905. Not long after, however, John D. Rockefeller pirated the entire blood banking industry, along with the administrative leadership of the ARC. As you'll soon learn, this quintessential coup d'etat represented more than a glorious economic opportunity. The takeover of the ARC and the entire blood industry was apparently required to fulfill a far more sinister, even occult, politically objective, and that was eugenics management for a racially purified planet. Uh-oh, sounds like the Nazis, doesn't it? To begin, during this time, John D. Rockefeller and his associates were making a concerted effort to control the entire field of medicine in America. And since then, they've done that. During the 1890s, Rockefeller's interests in medical education and, quote, scientific medicine were spearheaded by Frederick T. Gates. And he was John D. Rockefeller's investment manager. He knew a lot about medicine. In 1901, that saw the founding of the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research. In 1902, Rockefeller's General Education Board was founded with a mission to annihilate the causes of racial discords. Well, that sounds pretty good, but that agenda was clarified 2 years later with the publication of John D. Rockefeller's Occasional Letter No. 1, in which he detailed his plans to mold Americans to his concept of a, quote, perfect human nature. This, he claimed, might be best accomplished by destroying parental influence, destroying traditions and customs while reducing national intelligence levels. Oh, pretty good guy. In 1904, the Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory, that's the home of today's Human Genome Project, you know, was built on the estates of John Foster and Alan Dulles, lawyers for the Rockefeller Standard Oil Company. The Dulles brothers, who openly professed John D. Rockefeller's racial hygiene doctrines, later directed the U.S. military's Office of Strategic Services, the OSS, which became, after World War II, the CIA. Charles B. Davenport constructed the Cold Spring Harbor facility to provide a home for racial hygiene research, what was then called eugenics research. I mean, who really knew what eugenics was? The first racial hygiene laws in the world evolved from investigations and reports issued from here. John D. Rockefeller and Averell Harriman, America's wealthiest oil and railroad magnates, invested more than $11 million, an extraordinary fortune at that time, in funding this facility. Soon thereafter, in 1909, the first eugenics laboratory was established at the Rockefeller Institute, and it was directed by Dr. Phoebus Aaron Theodore Levine. In 1907, medical education had been mostly monopolized by the Rockefeller Consortium. And that year, the American Medical Association advanced its medical education rating system, effectively eliminating by 1918 approximately 600 of the initial 650 medical schools. Through Rockefeller cohorts in the Andrew Carnegie Endowment for the Advancement of Teaching, Abraham Flexner was appointed to survey medical schools throughout America, and this led to the infamous Flexner Report that vilified every alternative to drug-based medicine. These are the same guys that want to make it illegal for you to buy vitamins at the store. The Rockefellers' political control was clearly reflected in the Flexner family relations. Abraham Flexner served on the Rockefellers' General Board of Education. Abraham Flexner's brother, Simon, headed the Rockefeller Institute of Medical Research, and Simon's brother, Bernard, later joined the Board of Trustees of Rockefeller Foundation. But that was after he helped found the political powerful Council on Foreign Relations. Yeah. In 1910, following the death of Averill Harriman, who presided over Yale's infamous secret society, the Skull and Bones, his widow donated 80 acres of his estate property to establish the Eugenics Research Association at Cold Spring Harbor, New York, along with the Eugenics Records Office. The following year, social Darwinism subscriber John Foster Dulles revealed his desire to help develop a super race. Quote, super race. Kind of a Nazi is he. He explained that by eliminating... You see, this is where this goes, okay? This is where the Red Cross goes. This is where these foundations go. He explained that by eliminating the weakest members of the population, quote-unquote, a purer Aryan race might be created. Zeke Heil. According to several reputable authors, the Dulles brothers directing... Rockefeller's management group and law firm at Sullivan & Cromwell on Wall Street later administered the American affairs of I.G. Farben. That was Germany's leading industrial organization. It was linked intimately to Hitler and the rising Third Reich. They made hundreds of millions of dollars off the Second World War and the slave labor in the concentration camps. The Dulles law firm also directed U.S. business affairs for Fritz Thyssen, Hitler's primary financial backer. Thyssen later introduced Alan Dulles to the rising Nazi Führer, after which John, his brother, negotiated loans for the Nazis. And all this activity foreshadowed in 1928 the Rockefeller financing of the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for Eugenics, Anthropology, and Human Heredity in pre-Nazi Germany. Ernst Rudin, Hitler's chief racial hygienist, was given authority over this institute, principally funded by the Rockefellers. Eugenics psychiatrist Dr. Franz J. Kallmann and blood geneticist Otmar Verschuer assisted Dr. Rudin, and their institute was named for the science for the German Kaiser's the Germany's Kaiser Wilhelm II, who was a solid supporter of early eugenics experiments. And why was that? Because he was into the occult, and he wanted to further his own royal bloodline. According to historic records, Hitler was also an avid student of the occult and a member of the largely secret Thule Society. And that contained members of the British royal family, and the European banking industry. Thule Society members, with connections to other politically influential leaders in the United States, including members of the Skull and Bones fraternity at Yale University, are believed to have founded the National Socialist Party in Germany primarily to initiate World War II. Oh, they don't do that kind of stuff. Yes, they do. That's how they work. All of our wars have been Illuminati constructions. The occult, Freemasonry, and Rockefeller blood banking. In my 1999 book, Healing Codes for a Biological Apocalypse, I shed more light on these shadowy figures of eugenics history. Shortly before the war in 1936, according to the investigative journalist Anton Chaikin, Nazi eugenicist and Rockefeller grantee Dr. Franz Kallmann published his schizophrenic experiments after immigrating to New York because he was half Jewish. Schizophrenia experiments, okay? The secret society, known as the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, published his account of more than 1,000 cases. Well, why did they do that? What have the Masons got to do with schizophrenia experiments? Because they're all run at the top by the Illuminati, that's why. His book was used in 1939 to rationalize, quote, the murder of mental patients and various other defective people, according to Chaikin and others. At the same time, the infamous Nazi doctor Joseph Mengele, and we're going to do a lot about him in the coming shows on mind control, and Otmar Verschuer were collecting blood samples, particularly from twins, to conduct genetic experiments to further advance the eugenics field. And they did some heavy stuff. Thousands were butchered, and their heads, eyeballs, limbs, and organs were delivered to Mengele, Verschuer, and other Rockefeller-linked contingents at the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute. It was apparently no random coincidence that the Rockefeller family gained so much control over the ARC and blood banking, because Lawrence Rockefeller assembled the New York City Blood Council that evolved to largely control the international blood banking industry. The importance of blood and bloodlines is a recurring theme throughout history with the Illuminati, particularly when considering the highest levels and objectives of the secret Scottish Freemasons. According to the, quote, Structure of Freemasonry publication, the Order of the Red Cross stands third in the top echelon of power, just behind the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. According to authors Bagent, Lee, and Lincoln in the Holy Blood, Holy Grail, themselves Freemasons, the practice of identifying the Red Cross with the Masonic with Masonic tradition began in 1188. See, the Masons had the Red Cross in the 12th century. You thought the Red Cross was new, huh? Yeah. It's called the Rosicrucians, people. The Rosicrucians. Okay. They adopted this symbol when the Priori di Sion, the Merovingian top royal bloodline of the Illuminati, accepted the ceremonies of Ormus, O-R-M-U-S, said to have been an Egyptian sage, mystic, and a Gnostic adept in Alexandria, a hotbed of mystical activity in the 1st century A.D. In the 14th century, in Germany, the word Illuminati applied to the high initiates of the, quote, Brotherhood of the Snake, end quote. Yeah. Well, the snake, used by Rockefeller-directed organized medicine today, became a symbol of evolving illuminance or intelligence. You know the snake around the cross? You know, AMA? Likewise, the Knights Templar symbol shows the snake beginning and ending with a swastika. Citing Van Helsing's research again, quote, one of the main branches of the Illuminati in Germany were the mystical Rosicrucians, who were introduced at the beginning of the 9th century by Charlemagne. You thought you knew what the Red Cross was, huh? Yeah, so did I. In Emerging Viruses, AIDS, Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional, I explained how and why, at the end of World War II, the Dulles brothers, in support of Rockefeller alliances, this is very, very important that you know that this kind of stuff happened here. The Rockefeller-supported alliances arranged false Red Cross identifications for Nazi criminals, scientists like Wernher von Braun, and Joseph Mengele, and military officials to escape through what they call the rat lines. They brought a whole bunch of Nazis over here. Mengele was brought here and put to work on mind control by the CIA. A couple of years ago, the New York Times carried a story that explained that the Red Cross officials were well aware of the Nazi atrocities occurring in the concentration camps of World War II. They said that they were remiss in reporting that evidence. They omitted, however, the intelligence that the entire Red Cross organization was directed from high on above by the same devils that directed the business dealings between the Nazis, I.G. Farben, the CIA, and the Rockefeller Standard Oil Company from the rise of the Third Reich. No wonder that the New York Times reporter in another article much of the Nazi-stolen gold suddenly emerged in Rockefeller's Chase Manhattan Bank. Boy. See, Rockefeller supplied the Nazis, he supplied Hitler with the technology to turn coal into oil, into gasoline. Hitler didn't have any gasoline for his tanks and his planes. But thanks to Rockefeller and Rockefeller selling him oil through Spain. Okay, let's get on here. Gosh. Lawrence Rockefeller, the Lawrence Rockefeller directed New York City Blood Bank, knowingly received, oh, this is hard, this is very hard, but you remember this. They knowingly released thousands of pints of blood contaminated with the AIDS virus, HIV, despite holding secret the oxygenation technologies capable of cleaning the virus from the infected supplies. Do you remember that scandal? After developing AIDS, approximately 10,000 hemophiliacs died throughout the United States, along with countless others around the world. Likewise, in 1999, CNN reported that approximately a half million Chinese people became infected with HIV and received the hepatitis B and C and herpes viruses through contaminated blood, likewise preventable but purposely neglected. In my latest book, Death in the Air, Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare, I detail the Rockefellers' families and their foundation's association with the population control industry. They are currently moving to eradicate the planet's current population, include half of the population. Actually, some figures go down to a half a billion people, including America's civilian population as well. According to the Rockefeller-directed Population Control Council of New York City and its affiliate, Negative Population Growth Incorporated of New Jersey, the U.S. population requires culling to 125 million people. That's less than half the number already, right, that we have right now. And that, in a nutshell, is what America's new war on terrorism is leading. It's leading to World War III. That's what it's really all about. Global population control and reduction through managed chaos. Using standard Machiavellian practice of creating urgent problems and then costly solutions, America has been railroaded into what promises to be a long and deadly war against people previously, and maybe even still, on the payroll of the secret government and the CIA. Now you might comprehend, if you have the eyes to read the above text and the discernment necessary to perceive the truth that it relays, why I found it nauseating that Americans so readily gave their blood and money to the Rockefeller's Red Cross. If you're among the millions who made that mistake, chalk it up to simple deception. But for heaven's sakes, don't do it again. Please donate directly to the families that have been victimized. That way, your contribution might do more than aiding and abetting the enemy. Okay, now if you want to look up this whole article, I didn't read even half of it. You go to, this is all one word, AmericanRedDoubleCross.com. I got the article off of Rents.com. Which is another good source. Scary stuff, huh? Yeah. Well, I'd rather be scared and informed than scared and ignorant. See, the GI out there in the foxhole, he's able to overcome his fear because he knows the enemy. See? I mean, if you want to get into the subject in more detail, Straight Talk About God is a safe place to do that. We're at 88 Bryceland Road in Redway, California, and the number there is 707-923-ALI. Or that's 2559. And we're also on the web, asis.com/TildaStag, S-T-A-G. And from my homepage, you can access 125 past shows of Redwood Straight Talk. And also at 11 o'clock this morning, we'll have Dr. Gene Scott by satellite.
I can't believe what I've seen on CNN. Yes, I see they're up to their old tricks again. They think I'm a fool, but I don't fall for that. They report opinions and neglect the facts.
Well, I'll be back here on Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th. I'd like to do about 3 hours worth of Pearl Harbor and Illuminati involvement. But I promise that we'll get started on the subject of mind control. And I mean individual, trauma-based, drug-based, hypnosis-based programming in order to produce couriers, assassins, spies, and sex slaves. You know, one of the best ways I can think of to overcome our denial that the Illuminati are real is to find a way to overcome our fear of them. I mean, the best way I know to do that is to prove to yourself that God is real and that He'll give you a hand when you need it. This is Jack. Goodbye.
I can't believe what I've seen on CBS. They proclaim it's news, but it's hypothesis. I can't believe what I've seen on ABC. All their phony emotion is joking me. Somehow it's always linked to greed, and it's mind control to the third degree. Your hoarding falls shallow and it's sheen. More fuel for propaganda machine. Newsman, no, you cannot hide it. Newsman, no, you can't deny it. Newsman, no, we don't believe it. Newsman, but we hate to leave it. Newsman, no, you cannot hide it. Newsman, no, you can't deny it. Newsman, no, we don't believe it. Newsman, but we hate to leave it. Newsman, no, you cannot hide it. Newsman, no, you can't deny it. Newsman, no, we don't believe it.